And a very good morning to you, listening to the music of Samuel Barber, because that piece that you're listening to there, the Violin Concerto, is one of the works that you're going to hear this weekend with the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra. Their next concert is tomorrow evening. That's at 7:30 p.m. This is Friday, right? Yes, it is. at the Shreveport Riverview Theater. Sometimes, you know, the days kind of run into each other. I'm not totally sure. But in this case, a program that features, well, two works that date from the earlier part of the 20th century and one that dates from the very end of the 20th century. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But in particular, I'm joined by the guest artist on this concert, who we were talking a little bit off microphone. And so no doubt someone that you have heard, especially if you listen to From the Top is one of our regular programs here, and she has told me that she was on that program. Amarin Almeida is the soloist, who has you're just having a killer career. You just launched in there, and you're going to be playing the Barber, which is just exciting. Can I say I'm not supposed to say something is my favorite, but it really is my favorite violin concerto.
So it's definitely up there for me as well.
Yeah, it's a great piece, and it has kind of an intriguing history, because you have basically an industrialist who commissions the piece, and he commissioned it for his ward,
right,
and then you
Saint
have
Roselli.
This yeah mm-hmm. right and you so you have this whole history, it's like of dissatisfaction with this brilliant
exactly.
piece. You have World War II kind of getting in the middle there, and so there's a gap between when he composed the first two movements and the last movement, and then being told that it's not virtuosic or violinistic enough. What does he do? Creates this crazy perpetual motion.
Yes.
So talk about it from your point of view and how you got to know the piece and what you think about the concerto.
Well, this concerto specifically, I mean, it does have a very dramatic history, you know, in the creation of the piece. I'm like, Barber, Samuel Barber, he stuck by himself in what he wanted to do. And I think that was incredible. You know, yes, you're right, is the industrialist, and his ward Isel Roselli, he was like, hey, why don't you compose a piece for him? And he was like, sure. And, you know, there was the whole argument, and, you know, there's lots of talk about what is violinistic and what isn't, you know, and, you know, Isel Roselli was like, oh, it's not violinistic enough, it's not enough technical.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Where's the damn bow staccato? You know, where's all the technical stuff? Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think there's not a single place of that in there.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. So Barber goes, okay, you know what? I'm going to... Well, he wrote the first two movements, right? And then he presented those.
Right.
And then he gave him the third movement as well. And he was like, oh, I don't like this. And so he takes the third movement back and he completely rewrites it. It's 4 minutes long and perpetual motion the entire time. And it keeps going and it's super fast. What's the tempo markings? Like 190?
Oh, it's really fast. And it's interesting because almost none of the earlier recordings of it, Stern and all those other, they're nowhere near that. But which I understand.
I mean, it makes sense. But yeah, 192, it's a tempo marking, which is extremely, extremely fast. And, you know, it's just, he was like, and then Isel goes, I can't play this. And then there's where the Dvorak concerto comes in. You know, he decided to replace it with that at last minute.
With that, we were talking a little bit off microphone and Dvorak concerto, and yeah, it's a great piece, but talk about another concerto that has its own problems.
Exactly.
It's like, you weren't satisfied with Barber, so you decided to do another concerto that has its own issues.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. and of course, now this is all in the earlier half of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And now I've been around longer than you have. The Barber was one of those things, like a lot of American composers for a long time. There was kind of an attitude, not necessarily in the United States, but elsewhere, that we have all of these great cultural,
right,
you know, creations that are all, that's not quite on the same thing. But as it turns out, the Barber is one of the top favorite concertos.
I think, absolutely. I think probably because of the lyricism.
It is
present in the piece.
And so you can't say that lyrical singing is not part of violin playing.
There we
it
go.
Is.
It's absolutely. I feel like that's one of my goals as a musician is, you know, we have so many opportunities with our instrument and with the violin specifically to sound like we're singing, you know, and that's something that I can really explore with my playing and, you know, when I'm practicing and playing for my teachers. And so I feel like the Barber Violin Concerto gives me a lot of opportunities to, you know, sure. to explore that and see how I can phrase things like a singer and how I can take these breaths with the instrument, with the bow. So I feel like that is a side of violinistic playing, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, yes, there is all the spiccato and stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, the last movement does go on, although there was a critique, and I forget now who actually did the initial criticism, but making the comment that there's never a stop for the violins. That's not mm-hmm, true. Mm-hmm. There's like three bars, but I mean,
literally,
you know, so you can just breathe for a second. But in any case, it's a beautiful piece. Hasn't been done by Shreveport Symphony probably in 20 years. So it's really nice to have that concerto on the schedule. The concert is also an interesting mix. But before I talk about the rest of the program a little bit, and usually Michael's here, but Michael's conducting educational concerts downtown with the symphony. How did you get inspired to pick up the instrument to begin with? Because what you were telling me is your father is an IT expert, mm-hmm, right?
IT specialist.
And you ended up in Australia.
Yep.
And so where does the violin come into this whole equation?
Yeah, so actually it was my older brother. So my older brother, Peter, was in a Suzuki program.
And
he was like five, you know, I was a baby at the time. And I was showing up to all of his group classes and all his lessons, and I was sitting. Apparently I was very quiet. I was very well behaved when I was, you know, listening to his music and all of his other peers playing. And so he quit because he didn't like the violin. He plays cello now. Another great instrument, but the violin was just lying around. And when I was really little, I was able to hear music and I could memorize it. So obviously I couldn't read music back then, but I could listen to pieces and I could repeat them. Like I could sing them and things like that. And so I was like, oh, I have all his music in my head and I really wanted to try to play it. And my parents were like, oh, you're too little. You can't pick up the instrument. And they were like, I was like, no, I really want to play. And they found me this really tiny instrument. And I started playing, and I loved it. It was so much fun. And then, you know, I had like my first orchestra or performing with orchestra. I performed Introduction to Moderato Capriccioso by Camille Saint-Saëns.
Okay.
And when I think I was nine, and I got to wear
a nine. So you wasted no time at all getting your technique together.
Yeah, there is upper staccato in the introduction. Yeah, but yeah, I was nine. I got to wear a really nice dress, and I have my family and friends, and like all these people. I was like, this is so much fun. You know, I can like communicate all these ideas that I can't really speak about through my music, and I was like, I want to keep doing that, and I just love it. I love that experience.
That's beautiful. So you reminded me, mm-hmm. and those listening may know, you know, these days mostly yes as a conductor and composer, but also as a violinist. I was supposed to be, you know, I can put that in quotes, pianist. That's what I started mm-hmm. learning when I was five, right? But when I was six, I grew up in Cleveland. One of the first Suzuki programs came through in my school. They did a demonstration. You know, I don't remember how many kids were there, but I was fascinated by the violin, and I signed up for classes. And then mm-hmm. didn't tell my mom or my dad. Neither one of them knew. They get a bill in the mail for this. And to their credit, they allowed me to continue. But it was like, what is this? I want to play the violin, Mom. And, you know, there's little tiny violins and all of that. But again, a Suzuki program. So the value of that, if anybody ever wonders, of course, we have a terrific Suzuki program here in the Shreveport area. Yeah. Absolutely marvelous. And Laura Crawford, who I know you know, that is her program here. It's got a great history, and of course that whole family there has a long string connection, especially to cello, as you know.
Yeah.
But that's great. That's a great way to start, and you never know where that inspiration is going to come from. And and there you go. You started same way as I think a lot of younger players do ever since that program came together. I mean, it's absolutely marvelous. So let me just briefly talk about the rest of the program. So there's a piece by William Dawson. William Dawson, it's his Negro Folk Symphony, his only symphony, by the way. There were three composers who, roughly in the early 30s, were African-American composers that were had given their opportunities to have their pieces performed. Leopold Stokowski was one of the big pushers of this, and still had his, what's called the Afro-American Symphony. That is his symphony number one. Florence Price, whose music we hear much more frequently now than we did even 10 years ago, her symphonic work, and William Dawson is one of these. And the symphony is built on primarily spiritual themes, and I can never remember all of the ones that are in there, and I think I saw a list here. I'm looking to see if I can see that list here. But nevertheless, the whole idea of taking the folk music and taking the spiritual music and turning it into a great symphonic work is something that, you know, we were talking about Dvorak earlier. I mean, he was inspired to do something very similar with his New World Symphony. And he is on record as saying that what will set American music apart is exactly those elements, because there's so much rich music and heritage to be able to draw from in the music of, the folk music and especially African-Americans. And it was there. So you have Oh Lemme Shine, Oh My Little Soul, Gwyn Shine Like a Star, Hallelujah Lord, I've Been Down to the Sea. These are all weaved into this symphony, which has, again, another piece that hasn't probably been performed at least in any element probably in 30 years by the Shreveport Symphony. And it is intriguing because there is a new edition, a scholarly edition that went back to the original sources and has created, you would know this if you were a musician, beautiful parts, just so nicely done in scores that can actually be read. When I remember it from the past, they were still copies of the handwritten parts, which were barely readable, which always made rehearsal. But it's a great piece. It was really a terrific piece. And that dates from about the same time as when the barber got started, that period. And then on the other side of things, Jennifer Higdon's Blue Cathedral, which is a gorgeous work. And you were talking about brother and sister stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So she is a flutist. Her brother, Andrew, I believe, Andrew Blue, was a clarinetist. And mm-hmm. so both instruments have important roles to play in the piece, and she lost her brother, and that's what instigated this mm-hmm. piece. It's not a long piece. It's maybe about 10, maybe 10, 11 minutes, maybe a little longer than that, and it's full of orchestral colors and just there's a great beauty to it. And at the very end, there's even some, there's lots of percussion in it. She writes music with lots of really shimmering, beautiful percussion. And even half the orchestra gets to participate with, I won't give the whole thing away, but we're all playing alternative instruments that create a great atmosphere around it. So you have the Higdon, the Dawson on the other end of the program, and right in the middle, sandwiched in there, is the barber. So this concert is tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. at the Riverview Theater, downtown Shreveport. I will tell you again, for tickets, you can go to ShreveportSymphony.com. You can also call 318-227-8863. And I recommend you do that, because all of these are great pieces. But I've got to say, with the barber in there, it's an absolute favorite of mine. What do you have journey wise after your weekend here?
Some very, very exciting things.
I'm
going to New York next week. Yes, next week, and I'm going to perform at the Morgan Library on Mozart's violin. So Mozart's original violin, the De La Costa violin. Yes, it's coming all the way from Salzburg. And I will be performing two of his sonatas. They have the manuscripts there at the Morgan Library.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll be performing there. And then right after that, actually on my birthday, I am performing three concerts with the Dallas Symphony. And I will be performing Rocha
Happy
Violin
Concerto.
Thank you.
Oh, the Rocha?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Do you know it?
I am aware of it. I've heard parts of it.
Yeah. The Yasha Heifetz premiered it with the Dallas Symphony.
Of course, yes.
And this will be the first time they've played it since then. And it's an incredible piece. It's very, he's a Hungarian composer.
Sure.
Very, he did a lot of, he was in Hollywood. He did all
the
movie music. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did Ben-Hur, most famously. And it's just, I don't want to, it's, there's so many moving parts and there's so many different characters throughout the orchestra at the same time. And, you know, we all kind of come and meet together in the middle. And then, the Hungarian rhythms, you got that downbeat in there, which is amazing. It's just a wild ride and it's so much fun to play.
That does sound like fun. Well, congratulations. You got so much going on. And are you still at NEC?
I am, yeah. My first year.
Okay.
My second semester.
All right.
I did my German homework this morning.
I'm glad you found time to do that in amidst with everything else. Well, we're looking forward to the concert this weekend.
Thank you.
I know it's going to be great. And again, everyone, ShreveportSymphony.com or call 318-227-8863. My guest, Amarin Almeida, who is the soloist who will be playing the Barber Violin Concerto. And another, you know, great program. Michael Butterman will be there conducting. I'm going to be sitting on stage this time playing alongside, so I'm looking forward to as well. And if you are with an organization and you would like to be featured on a future spotlight, give us a call at 800-552-8502. Amarin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.